The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. International speaker, author, and Bible teacher Lisa Bevere presents See It, an insightful teaching on seeing yourself as God sees you.
I was shy, I was timid, I was handicapped, I was afraid. I was bound, my world was small. You were not made to live small. You were not made to live safe. You are not made to live scared. You are made to live large.
Next on Life Today.
But Betty and I have noticed we do have a little bit of a new opening.
Nice.
Still have the same. We like it. And we actually, even that back here, you can see the little logo's a little different. But me and Betty,
we're still same,
the same old, same old. I'm James. This is Betty, and we welcome you to Life Today. Our audience changes every week, and we just have wonderful people here. Lisa Bevere is teaching on facing your fears. And listen, it's part of a series that she did here, which actually was inspired by a book she wrote several years ago. And then the incredible response of what God was revealing to her, she calls it See It. And it's actually coming to see things from God's point of view, from His perspective, totally different than what most people see things. And the series is available. And I want to just say to all of you, as incredible viewing audience, you're going to really enjoy what Lisa has to say. Betty and I want you to know how much we love you and appreciate you. And I want to make something very clear to you. The future of faith and freedom and opportunity and blessing in order to bless really rests upon the shoulders of people who know how to pray and who know how to lean on God. Our founders called it divine providence. We need God's help. We got a lot to pray about, and I believe you're praying people. And I want you to really pray because so much is going on around the world, and there's a lot of fear, and Lisa's going to touch on that. And let's be prayer warriors, let's be soldiers of the Lord Jesus, and let's be a family, the family of faith. Here, would you welcome Lisa Bevere? Here's Lisa.
Let's talk about what heroes look like. I already said that fear is a spirit. God didn't give it to us. And I already said that that's counteracted by love. But I want to talk to you about something called faith. And I want you not to default, like, I know what faith is. I want to actually unpack this a little bit. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James says, now, again, it's now, it's not tomorrow. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we want to see something different, we're going to have faith. The dictionary defines the word substance as the core material, essential element, an ingredient that is tangible body of matter and the essence of. So that means faith actually takes up room. Matter is something that has space. If you want God to do something more in your life, you need to give Him some room. You need to give Him some space. You need to let that gift of faith inside of you create the element that He wants to work with. Hebrews 11 says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is our handle on what we can't see. We're talking about seeing everything different. Well, faith is our handle on everything we can't see, everything we long for, and yet we don't see in our lives right now. It says the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowds. God is looking for action heroes, not people that just mentally ascend and say, I believe you can do it. Actually, we all believe that God can, but we don't necessarily believe He will do it with us. And God is saying, I'm looking for people that will actually act on what I drop into their spirit. So he goes on to say, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. Well, what do we not see? Words. God spoke the earth into existence. And he gives you and I his word to speak. I don't know if we actually understand that the word of God was crafted in heaven. It wasn't forged on earth. It was forged in heaven. And it is a sword of the Spirit that when we begin to speak the word of God, he begins to execute things. He begins to execute righteousness. He begins to execute faith. He begins to, when I say execute, not kill, execute, cause things to go into motion in our lives. And he promises that he will watch over his word to perform it. Amen. Do you know he doesn't watch over your worries to perform it? Right. He watches over his word to perform it. Knowing that, we probably should only pray the word. I mean, we should really say, I'm going to craft my words with the word of God. It goes on in Hebrews 11:6. It says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Well, we're not giving him any substance to work for. We're not giving him any capacity. We're not making any room for him. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Most Christians believe that God is, but they do not believe that he will reward them. I remember when God began to check with me in this area, he said, you pray for other people and you believe I will do it for them. When will you start to believe that I will do it for you? We have to come to this place where we receive God, not as just some God that is using us to pray for other people, but a Father who loves us and longs for us to believe that he is good. And if we believe that he is good, then we will make room for him in our heart, make room for him in our family, make room for him in our life. Goes on to say in verses 13 through 16, it's talking about all these incredible, amazing heroes of faith, which I can't even go through the whole list. And actually, the writers of Hebrew didn't even get them all down. He says, each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance and waved their greeting and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted, but they were after a far better country than that, heaven's country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. We are passing through. We are passing through. I love that said they saw the promise in the distance and waved their greeting. What is that? Was there promised cars? Were there promised houses? Were there promised lands? You don't wave at cars. You don't wave at lands. You don't wave at people. You wave at people, right? That's what you wave at. You wave at people. And we know that we are actually part of this huge relay of faith, that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. They're waving at us and saying, we see that promise in the distance. And we are going to inherit with you. It's well worth it. Keep running. Don't think about quitting. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 11:33, it says, through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, and took the promises for themselves. We are people that must begin to take the promises for ourselves. You say, well, I don't want to take it for myself. If you don't take it for yourself, then you won't have something else to give. Right. See, we meet with Jesus on an intimate level so that we can introduce Jesus to other people on an intimate level. We need to take the promises of God into our lives. We need to know them intimately so that we can express them intimately through our lives. And I'm not talking about things. I believe that God adds things. You know, the word of faith, they use the word to get things. But we don't just use the word to get things. We use the word to do things. And then God adds whatever we have need of so that we can do the things. We don't stop with things. We stop with acts. We go with the acts of God. And then it goes on in Hebrews 12:1-3. It says, do you see what this means? all these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish line in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That is the best form of Starbucks you can get a hold of. When we look how Jesus went through everything and he had a hope set before him, then we know that we can go through anything because he's already faced everything that we could possibly go through. So as much as I hate the way the book of James begins, I love the way the book of James ends. And the book of James ends with 4:7-8, because I love getting loud. It says, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Well, I don't want to talk to the devil. If I talk to the devil, he's going to know I'm here. He already knows you're here. He already knows you are here. Well, he's going to get stronger. No, he's not going to get any stronger. He's already operating pretty much full capacity against you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Why? Because we're in a season of harvest. And in a season of harvest, you don't play the field. You work it. Amen. So I want to pray over you. I already said it. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Boldness is not a function of my personality. I was shy, I was timid, I was handicapped, I was afraid. I was bound, my world was small. You were not made to live small. You were not made to live safe. You were not made to live scared. You are made to live large. You are made to run a race. You are made to complete your course. You are not supposed to be a spectator. You are supposed to be a participator. All of heaven and earth is looking at you and watching for you to be everything that God created you to be. But that spirit of fear is saying, what about you? What about yours? What might you lose? Hey, what might you win? What might happen? What might God do? I am tired of making God sound small and trying to protect his reputation. Amen. I want to finish with this story. I have a beautiful young girl who was an intern for us, and she's getting married in a few weeks. Because of different situations, her mother is not necessarily in a position to kind of help her on that journey getting ready to get married. So I said to her, how about I just adopt you? For the next 6 weeks, I'm your mother. So any questions that you have about anything, you just call me and I am there for you. And she was just start crying. She said, awesome, let's do this. And so I was like, okay, totally your mother. So I just had her drop into my spirit last week. I just was like, something's not right. So I texted her. I was like, hey, how's everything going? And she said, I can't believe you're texting me right now. There's something really bad happening. She said, you know, she'd gone to the Philippines on a missions trip and gotten infested with parasites, and her entire body had broken out in hives to the place where she couldn't even walk. And she was in so much pain, like blisters, hives all over her. She's been very sick. And she said, I'm miserable right now. I just have been perpetually the last 3 days broken out in hives. The doctors can't do anything. And I said, you just call me right now. And so she called me, and before I could even let her talk, I just started to yell. I was like, in the name of Jesus. I said, I do not know what's going on in your body. I don't know if this is witchcraft. I don't know if this is parasites. I don't know if this is a bacterial infection. But I do know that there is no name that is higher than the name of Jesus. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command whatever is going on in your body to cease. This storm that is in your system, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. She was just like, oh my gosh. And so I was like, okay, I'm not sure where that came from. But it was that ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. She goes, all the hives are gone on my legs. Oh my gosh, I'm standing on my feet. There's no hives on my feet. Oh my gosh, now they're all gone on my arms. We watched God heal her over the phone. But I think the bold factor, I think I just scared those things out of her. I think I scared myself about, like, no, seriously, because you do have to understand. There's always a chance that you pray for somebody and they won't get healed, but there's always a chance you pray for somebody and they will get healed. We don't stop offering salvation because not everybody receives it. Why do we stop declaring God healer and deliverer and the soundness of mind? Let's declare everything He is and let's see God do something. So I need you to start acting in faith. We already talked last session, no weird. But when God drops somebody that you're related to into your heart, be obedient. And when you're obedient, then you pray scary prayers, not scared prayers, scary prayers that scare the enemy. Okay, so I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you that there is a gift that has been seeded in their life. I speak to that gift that is in seed form. I speak to that gift that is dormant. I speak to that spirit of fear that tries to contain their life and torment their mind. I thank you, Father, that your word says you have not given them a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I speak release to the gift of God in your life. I speak release to the confusion that is in your mind. I thank you for soundness of mind. I thank you for authority in the spirit. Father, I thank you that they take back what the enemy has stolen from them in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, say amen and amen. I believe God is going to position you to face some things. I believe some things are going to come into your life and it's going to scare you at first. And you're going, wait, this is that. This is what I prayed for. This is what I've been watching for. You step into it, okay? And don't draw back. Don't second guess. Just get loud with the devil and quiet with God. Have an assurance that if He says it, He will do it in Jesus' name. I believe that you are heroes of faith. I believe that you all have acts of faith. I believe you are going to make justice work. I believe you are going to take the promises for yourself. And I believe by a whole nation of people rising up and doing this, we're going to topple the kingdoms of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.
I like that, Lisa. I like toppling kingdoms instead of letting all hell come in on us and just waiting for the kingdom to come. I feel like we've been commissioned to reveal the kingdom of God in us, all of us, and let people see what the King's like and really bring His will to earth now. And no problem in the future and no challenge in the future. No battle. The battle's here. That's why we've got the armor. But we're suited up to win, not to give title deed over to the enemy of life and truth and love. You know, Betty, what we've found our viewers to be are very caring, sensitive people. When they see a need that can be met, I have found them anxious to meet
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We're thankful that you are partners with Life Outreach to reach out to those that really need help in all areas of life, and this is one you'll really want to participate in.
You're going to be deeply moved because when you see Lisa and, you're hearing her teach, but here she is on the mission field, and boy, she and her husband so anxious not only to support our mission work, but to go to the mission field, and here she is where the sexual trafficking is so rampant and where we can, through the love of God, by joining hands, we can change everything for people who are now trapped in absolute bondage and slavery. Watch this closely.
You know, looking out here, you just can't miss the beauty. It is so serene. It is so idyllic. And you see these children, and they're just so beautiful. But in the midst of all this beauty and peace and tranquility, there is a danger, and there is a darkness that you don't see. And when somebody comes in and tells them, listen, you can have a better life, you can have a hope, the parents often encourage the children to leave, not knowing what the children are going into. But we know what the dangers are.
I was born in a poor family, and my sister, somebody come to tell her that if she love her family, if she want more money to go to work with them, they will give more money and good job. But since then, I never see my sister anymore.
Okay, I just watched a little girl walk away into the night. She's a little girl. She's not a prostitute. She's a captive. She's a sex traffic victim. This is what it looks like. This was never her choice. This is never what she wanted to do. These young girls need you. We need you to respond. I cannot even imagine what she's walking into.
Dear God, thank you for a broken heart. Touch hearts. We have, over the years, shared with you what we have seen that is very real. And we have said we can offer hope because we know wonderful relief and mission workers. For them, they've left everything and they've moved into the pain and suffering. Now, I think you may remember after Betty and I went to the mission fields of the world, and I was doing crusade evangelism, large coliseums, and of course, television. I said, God, do you want us to stay here? And the missionaries heard me asking that to God and said, don't stay here, please. Go back home and tell. Southern Baptist had a missionary named Bertha Smith that wrote a book, Go Home and Tell. And that's what she did and helped mission progress. She inspired incredible outreach through the outreach of Southern Baptist. Go home and tell. The missionary said, and Betty, that's what God told us to do because we would have planted our lives there. We were called to go back and encourage people to see what these called out individuals who placed their life in the midst of suffering and pain for the purpose of God, to rescue them, that we could support them and make them effective. And we didn't know what you would do as viewers, but you have overwhelmed us with the love of God. And so when we showed you the sexual predation and little children being taken captive and held in bondage, kept in prison, our mission workers go in with hidden cameras now to so many places, very dangerous. We can't even show you some of the biggest centers we built where you would see the children because traffickers would target them when they saw them in town, knowing they'd been rescued, and try to get them back to punish. It's kind of like terrorism, trying to hurt somebody to pay back. That's the way evil operates. But God gives love and life, and that's what you're doing. Here's what we want to ask you to do. Help us rescue hundreds and hundreds of children and women, and sometimes boys who are taken captive, rescue them out of that horrible bondage and sexual slavery. Would you help us? Betty, it still takes $128 to rescue a child. Now, this includes, in many places, building safe houses, doing everything we can to give them a future. Sometimes we have built large homes that you've helped us build. But it always starts with someone saying, I will rescue one, $128, or say, I'll give $64 and pray now somebody will join me and we will have rescued another. In other words, there's a level where you can participate. And thank God, there are people who can give $1,280 and help us rescue 10. What we're doing, we're sending you the incredible series, See It, that Lisa Bevere taught. It is for women and for men. Every one of my staff have said, James, men need to hear that. And I can tell you because I've heard what Lisa says. She downloads truth that's meaningful to all of us to say thank you for your gift to help us rescue someone from that terrible bondage. We're going to help you overcome some of the challenges and the fears and sometimes the bondage you experience. Would you call the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But if you write a check, call us and tell us what you're sending or you can go online. And Betty, I'm praying every single person watching will do something today to help.
Thank you for anything that you can do to help these precious children that did not make the decision to be where they are right now. But through your help and your love, we can set them free.
And I believe you're going to join us in doing it, and I thank you. Please go to the phone or go online and make the gift God puts on your heart.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their destiny forever. With gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your support with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this existence. Today, with your gift of any amount, we'll send you Lisa Bevere's powerful new series, See It, on audio CD, along with her companion book, It's Not How You Look, It's What You See. In this new series, Lisa equips you to see a new perspective for your life, one of great possibilities, not limited by the world, but defined by God, who sees your future and created you to be a unique blessing to those around you. With your gift of $128 to help rescue a child, you may request the book along with See It on CD and DVD, or choose USB flash drive, which includes all the messages in both audio and video. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I want to remind you that we will send See It as you request it, and you're helping us rescue a child. If there's any way you can help us rescue several, please do. You're also going to get the book that in so many ways inspired this series. It's Not How You Look, It's What You See. Change your perspective, change your life, and we'll send you the book. Also, please, very prayerfully, if you haven't already called, pray about calling to help and then know you're going to receive help that can change your view. You'll begin to see things from God's point of view. Thank all of you for watching, and thank you for being here with us. God bless you. I do want to remind you this is the last week and we need your help, and thank you so much for it.
How God can take the ashes of your life and turn them into beauty.
Tomorrow, discover your true value when you see it God's way. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.